Today on The Grave Talks, we continue our conversation about the haunted Boyd House with owner Jill Shelley. Boyd, Minnesota is a small town, a very small town. In 1920, though, it was booming with a population of 529. Today, there are 175 residents and one very haunted house, the Boyd House. What happened in the home? What secrets lie behind the walls? And who is haunting the home? Is it Fred and Minnie Eckert? Maybe some of their 11 children are still there? I'm Carol Hughes, and on this episode of The Grave Talks, a conversation about the history and the hauntings of the Boyd House with owner Jill Shelley. Now, as we've talked about the Boyd House, it's kind of a haunted Airbnb, so people can come in, spend the night, do their own investigation. Do you feel like you need to inform them of certain things, warn them of certain things, you know, the spirits they'll encounter there, or do you just let them discover that on their own?
Well, you know, it's up to the team. You know, some people, when they go to investigate, they want to know everything about the place, you know, the history, you know, where all the paranormal hotspots, and there's other teams that don't want to know anything. They want to see what they can learn on their own. You know, basically, for our house, we don't have anything mean or malevolent, anything bad. All our spirits are very friendly. They're very open to communication, as long as you show them respect. And that would be something you would just show any normal human being anyway, you know, respect. And you're going to get a lot of different interactions with them. And they respond to that more than, you know, you yelling at them or demanding them to do something, that kind of thing.
I would just think, if I was in your shoes and I felt someone came in and disrespected the spirits that were there, that would make me really angry. You know, it's like, don't go disrespecting my spirit family.
Yeah, usually, you know, at that point, they would more than likely just shut down and nothing would happen. You know, like you'd be there and be really bored. I do know a few people have had kind of like maybe like a little pushing, felt like somebody was pushing them or not allowing them to go to a certain area, but those are usually have been men, and they say that they got kind of pushy themselves. And so it's like we feel it's like Fred, like he's pushing back, like, hey, I'm done, I've had enough, and I don't like your attitude.
I kind of like that. And a man of a certain age, they're just kind of like that. I don't need this.
Right.
Time for you to stop. But I think it would be, what's the word I want? Maybe difficult for them to have so many people in and out. But the fact that you've explained it to them, maybe they also find it entertaining.
I think it's probably a little bit of both. And, you know, it's again what your group brings to the table and how you investigate, the energy the spirits have that day, if they want to, interact, because you can't make them do anything there. I mean, just because they're dead doesn't mean they're not like people. You know, they could just be like, oh, not another one. Because I'm sure they get the same thing every day. But I did have a psychic say that Minnie does enjoy the company, and Fred likes to mess with people sometimes and pretend he's somebody he's not, as a joke. So, I mean, they can play games too. They actually do play cards. We did find out Minnie loved to play cards, so we can get them with a K2 meter, which, you know, detects electromagnetic energy. So you can get her to light up the K2 meter if she wants a hit. So we do that if we play 21, and she's right on like every single time if they want to hit or stay. And then I one time did run the spirit box too at the same time, so I could audibly hear them. And I was like, well, do you want to split? Do you want to stay? What do you want to do with this hand? And I said, we'll stay, and which was a good spot for her. But she wins cards a lot.
I love that you play cards with her.
Yeah, they love so it. Awesome. We tried to play. Apparently, she had a game called Whist, I think it is. I have no idea how to play it. Still have no idea to play it, but we tried. We did try. I'm sure she was laughing, going, oh, my God.
So people are horrible at this. Now, how long have you had it open to people to come in and investigate or just experience what it's like to spend the night in a haunted house?
Since 2018. Okay. So I think June 2018 was when we had our first other than myself and my team members there. is when we had our first people who came in as a team for our first overnight paranormal group.
Are you?
They got quite a bit.
Are you curious as to what other people are picking up on? Do you, you know how at a hotel or restaurant, you know, how was your stay? And you fill out this little form that tells them, do you kind of do that? How was your stay? Did you pick up on this or this or anything unusual happen? Do you
I love when people send me stuff. You know, not everybody does. So a lot of times I'll just check Facebook randomly, YouTube, see if anybody's put anything up. So I encourage people to send me anything that they get. We do also have a guest book, and a majority of people fill that out, just kind of write in things that have happened to them, things that they experienced at the house. So I do get to hear, you know, I'd probably say maybe 80% of what's happened, at least at the house. Majority of people do have something.
And I would think they'd want to share it, especially if you went someplace and you picked up on something.
Oh yeah, for sure. So like I said, I love it when people send me stuff. So because it's kind of fun. I get to collaborate, some things that I've experienced, like, oh my gosh, they got that too in that same area, or they got that same name, or, you know, just seeing other things too, maybe that somebody does. I'm just like, oh, that's a good idea. I didn't think of that. I'm going to try it. You know, so it's just a lot of learning and stuff. And I just love the collaboration with everyone.
Have you heard any stories that really surprised you or something that was pretty profound or very interesting?
The only thing that I was, okay, this is kind of weird. So there was one team that told me that they felt like there was a guy there that held down like a prostitute in the house, you know, that took control of her. And he's like, he's a very bad man. And I was like, I don't really get that. You know, I'm not really feeling that. But I'm not knocking anything that somebody else gets, because who knows? And then that same particular day, I went to see a pretty well-respected psychic that was at the convention, and I did a read with them, and I just was like, I just want to read on my house. I want if he can get any feels. And he said, I think there's a guy who's holding a prostitute down. And I was just like, oh my God, this is like twice in one day.
That is weird.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, well, I guess I might have something like that going on.
Do you think that could be one of those kind of traveling ghosts, the spirits that stop by, like a ghost squatter, and they're there for a while, then they're gone?
It could be, or somebody who's, you know, it could be maybe they were there before the land and, you know, on the land before the house was there. Yeah. You know, there could be that type of situation, you know, because we don't know what went on back in the day. You know, you can go back to 1700s. You ain't going to find anything on the books for sure of anything that happened there. So, again, even that being a small town, I mean, there could have been prostitution going on. Somebody could have, you know, brought them over that area and murdered them and buried them there for all we know. So, you know, it totally could happen. It was just interesting that I had two people say the same thing.
Same day.
Exactly.
And, you know, I live in Kansas. So when you think about it, the history of our states, you know, they came out and covered wagons at one point there, you know, they were exploring. It was very brutal. It was very harsh environment, especially in Minnesota. That was a harsh environment with the snow. Oh, yeah. And so when you think about any possibility with Indians nearby, there has to be a lot of things that happened on or near that land.
Oh yeah, for sure. I did know. And we did go to the research for the history. The only thing we found with some of the Native Americans, it was either very late 1700 or right in the early 1800s. There was a really, really bad snowstorm, and it was so cold, and they lost like thousands of Native Americans because they froze to death. Uh-huh. And that was like kind of in the area. So there, you know, there's a lot of death there too, you know, just from natural causes. Uh-huh. As well, not even necessarily, you know, tragic murder or anything.
And we talk to people sometimes, and they'll say, well, it's a new house. How can it be haunted? Like, you don't know what happened before that new house was built.
Oh, exactly. Yes. We hear that all the time.
I was looking at your website and go there, look at all the pictures, and then people can decide to book it themselves. I think it would be, I almost said fun, but I think for me, it would be kind of terrifying. And part of my personal problem is I just can't relax. I'm constantly like, is something going to grab me? Is something going to touch me? If I fall asleep, is something going to, you know, I can't ever relax in a place like that. But I do think it would be a great place for people to go do an investigation. Or some people have told me before, they just want to stay in a haunted house. This is perfect for them. You can rent it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. We allow private overnight investigations. And like I said, with our house, we don't have anything bad or evil. So it's kind of a nice, warm location. Like, you get kind of the warm feelings. I've kind of created it to be a creepy kind of elegant kind of place, you know, so you feel comfortable, but yet you feel like you're sitting back in time as
yes,
well.
Yes, very much so.
So I, you know, so it's not like super creepy. Well, I guess I hear a lot of people say it's creepy, but cool creepy. So,
well, I think when you walk in, by looking at the pictures, when you walk in, it takes you back. It's kind of like you're in a house that's been turned into a museum, where you go in and you take the tour and they've got the ropes and you can't go in the rooms. This one, you can go in the rooms.
Yes. And you can sit on the furniture. So.
And pick up the haunted doll.
Yeah. Yes. You know, and we, you know, we put, like I said, we put objects in there too. Like his grandson told us that they had a smoking stand in this corner. So we went out, we purchased a smoking stand. Just little things. You know, I found like one of those old wash stands, you know, with the mirror, and they just had the pitcher with the water and the big bowl and stuff. And I was like, oh my God, that's going to look so great. So I found a spot, put that in there. Just kind of different things. We did bring got an old Victrola from a friend of mine. So that came from her grandma from the 1900s. And we played that one night, just with the old records and stuff. And we had a lot of interaction that night because I think they really enjoyed having the music being played.
And that would be, you know, you can't exactly play, you know, Kanye West on it would have been the music of that period.
No, we have all the oldie but goodies, but then they also like they seem because, you know, they died in the 50s. So it's not like they're stuck way in the back, but they seem to really like Johnny Cash as well. So we'll play Johnny Cash.
That's interesting.
With,
yeah.
Yeah. You know, cause he goes way back. And then, you know, we knew that, learned that Fred liked the Time, Life magazines from the 40s. So we bought a couple of those and put those by the smoking stand to read. Things that we know that they like, we like to, like I said, give them gifts and make them happy. So hopefully they, enjoy what we do for them. They seem to respond to it anyway. So I think they like it.
I love that you care about them the way you do. It touches my heart. It really does. I love it because I think that so often we think of a haunted house as a curiosity and kind of an attraction, but then we're afraid of it, don't want to interact too much. Your approach is very unique, I think. And it's like, we brought this for you and you kind of are getting to know them a little bit.
Yeah, you know, when we travel to places, you get like one shot, the 8 hours, 10 hours that we have there, you know, just to make that kind of connection. But because I own the Boyd House, I'm there more often. So I can form that relationship with the spirits. And, you know, you'll hear that a lot from, you know, people who own these haunted locations because they are there a lot working. And then the spirits get used to them and then they understand what's going on. And I'm sure they're doing the same thing, creating that bond and that relationship with the spirits. So I think that's why we get a lot of interaction.
Do you still do investigations on your own now that you have your own haunted house? Or are you like, okay, I'm getting enough of that. I got my own. Or do you still go out and investigate other locations?
Yeah, we do have 3 trips planned this year. We're just kind of taken back a little bit. A couple of my teammates have some personal family things and school. We are just stepping back a little bit this year. So hopefully next year, like 2024, we'll be able to get out and investigate places. But it's always fun to go to new places, you know, as well. And of course, we always love going to the Boyd House. So we get down there as often as we can, too.
Do you primarily investigate around Minneapolis, or do you kind of like to go all over?
Oh, we'll go all over. You know, we've traveled as far as Ohio, you know, and then as far as the other way, we've kind of, I think it's Kansas. We have gone to Kansas. So,
Atchison, yeah, Kansas. That is a very haunted town.
And yes, we've been there as well.
I've been wanting to go up there myself. What is one of your favorite places you've gone to that kind of surprised you as far as
the investigation? Oh, gosh, like there's stories for everywhere we go.
Well, I guess that's true.
I don't know. I guess like my first one, you never forget your first one, which was the Villisca Axe Murder House.
That was your first one?
That was our first one that we went to. Yeah, as far as like other than, you know, around Minnesota, you know, this, our local town when we were just doing.
But you like dove right into one of the most haunted places.
Yeah. We were like, well, it's only 4.5 hours or however far it was. I don't remember. But we're like, let's go check it out. So we did. And that was crazy. We got a lot of interaction that night. We had some equipment interaction. We had rocks thrown at us. You know, like little pebbly rocks thrown at us. But we got some great EVPs of the kids talking. They said, well, we heard that Lena, she was one of the neighborhood children that got murdered, and she likes to mess with the guests that come. So we had the older boy say, no, Lena, no. So I'm guessing she was going to do something, and he told her not to do it. One of the kids said, you want to play? And the other one said, no way. So we actually had two kids talking to each other, which is like I've never gotten an EVP with the two kids, you know, one talking and one answering right away. And then we got like, when we walked in, we said, is anybody here? And you heard a girl say, we're right here. So, I mean, it was a lot of really cool EVPs that I just didn't even have to modify. They were just like, they were right in the room. So that was, that was pretty cool. So I never really forget that first night.
Well, and of all places to go, you dove right in.
Oh, I know. It was funny because I was terrified. I couldn't sleep. I like was facing my friend on my air mattress face, and we were like, don't turn away from each other. Just, so it was like, you know, now it's just like, oh, I'm in an asylum. Okay, well, I'm just going to bed and I'm tired.
So see, and I couldn't. I would still to this day be like, don't turn away from me, please.
Yeah, we've slept in some interesting places, that's for sure. Asylums, jail cells, you know, just some crazy places that we've been.
Well, you have to go where they are.
Well, I thought it was a thing that people slept in these places, but most people apparently don't. So I just throw up an air mattress. I'll sleep anywhere.
Well, and that's cool because people can sleep in your haunted house.
And yes, yes.
So I think that's really a great opportunity because, you know, a lot of places you can't afford to do the investigation yourself. And maybe it varies throughout the year what you charge. I'm not sure.
Yeah, no, we do. It's $200 a night for a group of 8 people. So that covers up to 8 people. We allow them to come in at 3 p.m. and then they don't have to leave till noon the next day. So it gives you a lot of time to come in if you have equipment set up, get some dinner, do a lot of investigating. You'd stay up pretty late and then sleep in just before you have to drive home. We kind of just made that available for everybody. But, you know, doing an investigating myself, you know, we kind of doing that, we're like, well, what are things that we would like or what would we change if we own this place? So kind of some of the things we put together. And we also have some snacks and a pizza maker, fridge, microwave. We're open in the winter. We have heat. We have 2 bathrooms, window air units for AC in the summer. So, we try to make it a 365 year. Sometimes in the winter, it's a little tough. If we have a lot of snow, the road shut down. You can't get in or out. So that's the risk you take when you come in the winter.
And then you get stuck there.
And then you get stuck. So, yeah, that's actually never happened to anybody. So,
you know, if you get 8 people, that's only $25 a night. For everybody.
No, yeah, that's way reasonable. So, and I try to keep it pretty comparable price wise. You know, I got to pay the bills and such, but, you know, pretty much all the money that we get goes back in the restoration of the house. You know, we've had to do a lot of upgrades. We've had to put a new roof in. We've had some plumbing issues, you know, things that we had to upgrade and fix. Just to keep the house going. So that's pretty much where it all goes. You know, a lot of people think, oh, that's a way to make a ton of money and be rich. It's really not, because I barely break even every year.
Well, and just owning a home, there's a lot of upkeep, you know, so you have all that.
And well, exactly. Yep. The homeowner stuff and everything too. So, but I do it because I love it. You know, I got the passion for the paranormal and I love allowing other people to go in and experience and do what they want to do, which is investigating. So I just do it for the love of that.
Well, this has been a real interesting conversation. And I love that you are the only person I've ever met that has their very own haunted Airbnb, which is basically what it is. I think that's great. So, I mean, you can get a group of people together and go spend a day or two there. I think it would be interesting,
That'd
especially,
be fun.
You know, the summertime too. You can go Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. If you've got a week off, go during the week.
Oh yeah. We do. Like I said, we're open 365 Monday through Sunday. You know, we're available.
Well, thank you so much for your time today. I really, really appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me on. It was great talking with you.
You too. And that wraps up our conversation about the Boyd House with owner Jill Shelley. And if you would like more information on the home, as well as staying in the home, go to their website, boydhouse217.com. And if you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advanced episodes, everything commercial free, become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts and you can try it for 3 days absolutely free. You can also go to patreon.com/thegravetalks and find everything right there, also all ad-free. For all of us here at The Grave Talks, I'm Carol Hughes, and thank you so much for listening.